Hello and welcome to the Enjoy Church podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope this message empowers, equips, and helps you become everything God has called you to be. Enjoy the message.
Are you ready? We're going to dive straight in. I'm already out of time. Let's just go. Romans chapter 1, reading from verse 10. One of the things I always pray for is the opportunity, God willing, to come at last to see you. Everyone turn to the person beside you and say, talking to you. Say, he's talking to me. I've come to see you today. That's the truth. All of you. For I long to visit you so I can share a spiritual blessing with you that will help you grow strong in the Lord. I'm eager. As I come today, I've got to tell you, I am eager to encourage you in your faith, but I also want you to be encouraged. I also want to be encouraged by yours in this way. Each of us will be a blessing to the other. So I have come today to be a blessing to you, and you have come today to be a blessing to me. Praise God. Thank you, Georgie. That's how it works. How many of you know we are the body of Christ? We're not just takers, but we're givers. We take and we give. If you're all the time looking to come to church or be part of a family or be part of a business or be part of where it's all the time taking, how many of you know you've got to get saved again? And realize I'm not just here to take, but I'm here to give as well. I take and I give. I take and I give. Over the course of this year, the truth is Georgie and I have received so much encouragement. Encouragement from our family, encouragement from our friends, and encouragement from Enjoy Church, which is all of you. And I want to say thank you for all of your encouragement. But I also want to say this, if you desire to encourage Georgie and I as your pastors, can I encourage you to commit to leaning in? Everyone say lean in. How many of you know you can't lean in like this? I want to encourage you to lean in. Everyone say lean in. You're not moving. How many of you know you can't lean in with this posture? As in, if you position yourself in the house of God, posture yourself in the house of God. As in, so often it's like people are here and it's like, well, I'm here, aren't I? And it's like, you can be here, you can be anywhere. But if you're going to be here, be here. So yeah, you're present, you position yourself, now posture yourself, lean in and learn, lean in and listen so that you may grow strong in the Lord. How many of you want to grow strong in the Lord? All right. You know what I've discovered over years of ministry? Everybody says that they want breakthrough, but very few want to be broken. Wow. Everybody says that they want breakthrough. How many of you want breakthrough? Everyone says they want breakthrough, but very few actually want to be broken. But for most of us, before the real breakthrough comes, we'll need to experience some breaking down of walls, breaking down of thoughts, breaking down of ideas and ideologies and belief systems. So today, we're just going to jump straight in. How many of you are believing for breakthrough in your life? Give me a wave if that's you. Praise God. Half of you, all the rest of you are there. God bless you. Good. Good. I don't know. I need breakthrough. Georgie, do you need breakthrough? Do you need me to breakthrough? Yes, you do. We all need breakthrough. Whether you like it or not, if you're like, no, I've arrived, good for you. I think the Lord's going to come and get you real quick. Because what's the point? As in, if you've already arrived, if there's nothing left for you to do on planet Earth, why are you breathing? You're here for a reason. You're here for purpose. You're here to bring glory to God. And if you're going to live such a life, you're going to need breakthrough. You're going to need miracles. You're going to need to see God continue to move in your life. How many of you believe, just out of curiosity, how many of you believe that King Jesus is the Lord of the breakthrough? Praise God. All right. Now, just so you know, this is still Enjoy Church. Are we still Enjoy Church? Yeah. All right. So when I talk to you, it's like if I go down to the cemetery, okay, if I was to go on the way home past the Keilor Cemetery and sit on the tombstones and talk, how many of you know they're going to look at me like this? That's not Enjoy Church. This is Enjoy Church. How many of you believe? Yeah. How many of you believe that King Jesus is the Lord of the breakthrough? Oh. He is the Lord of the breakthrough. He is the God of the breakthrough. If this is true, how many of you know it's going to shape the way we approach him? If this is true, if we really believe that King Jesus is the Lord of the breakthrough, how do you think then that we should approach him? As we look to come into his presence, how do we approach him? If this is true, if King Jesus is the God of breakthrough, if he is the Lord of the turnaround, then I want to approach him in a way that captures his heart and his attention. I want his heart and I want his attention. I'm not looking to step in and step out and he doesn't even know that I've been here. I don't want to step in a way that offends him because he's a jealous God. So I don't want to step in a way that offends him, but I want to step in a way that captures his heart and his attention. Therefore, what I think in regards to my approach to him has to break down. And what he thinks in regards to the way that I approach him, now this is all that matters. All that matters is what does God say in regards to the way we, his people, his children, approach him. I need to learn it and I need to get an understanding of it. In Psalm chapter 100, reading from verse 4, it says, enter his gates. Everyone say enter. Enter. All right, how many of you have entered church today? Give me a wave if you entered church. How many of you are aware that you're here? Some of you are like, oh, did I enter church? We're here. We entered church. All right. Did you enter his gates though? Or did you just enter church? Wow. Where is it in here? Where is it in here? Are we going through the motions or have we entered into the presence of the Lord God Almighty? Yeah. Scripture says that we're to enter his gates with thanksgiving. We're to enter his gates with and his courts with
praise.
With
praise.
With
praise.
Praise. We're to enter his gates with thanksgiving, enter his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, give thanks, church, and praise his name. Give thanks and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all the generations. Praise God for that. Today as I come and I bring the word, I'm not just looking to bring a spiritual blessing, but also a life's lesson. How many of you know the word is full of truth that's going to bring spiritual blessing, but there's also lessons for life. And if you will listen to the truth, you're going to gain lessons that are going to set you up for life. Friends, the way you enter anywhere will determine so much about your experience. The way you enter anywhere, it's going to determine so much about your experience. I want to encourage you, when you enter, be aware that you're entering into something here, and the way I enter is going to determine the experience that I'm about to have. If you're getting a new job, can I encourage you? If you're getting a new job, enter in boldly into that job space. Enter in with great expectation. Enter in believing that God is for you and God has made a way where there was no way, so that as you step out on the water, you're going to see God uphold you. Friends, I want to encourage you, don't be timid, don't be shy. When it comes to entering into what God is making a way for you, if God is making a way, just step in there and own that space. If it's your job, it's your job. Just own it like a boss. Be the boss. Have the boss attitude. I'm not talking about attitude. I'm talking about good attitude. Yeah. Be that person that your boss is like, where did they come from? I need 17 more of them. Be that person where they're like, what church do you go to? I need more people from that church, because whenever you walk in the room, the sun begins to shine. Whenever you walk in the room, there is a turnaround in the atmosphere. Whenever you step in, friends, can I encourage you, be that person. If you're getting a new job, enter in like that. Maybe you're not getting a new job. Maybe you're going to work tomorrow. Just do exactly the same. Some of you are like, I hate my boss. And you wonder why your boss hates you. Take them cookies. Cookies. No magic mushies in the cookies. Just take cookies. Cookies. Be the cookie monster in your office. Let everyone know. What about, how many of you are going to get married in the near future? Give me a wave if you're going to get married. Praise God, we've got hands going up everywhere. Can I encourage you, when you step into marriage, be believing as you enter into marriage, this is going to be awesome. Everything is awesome. Everything is cool when you're part of a marriage. That's awesome. You don't need to go home at the end of the date. Praise God. You get to go to bed. You'll be speaking in tongues then. Praise God. I'm not talking about French, but anyway. Moving right along. Marriage is awesome. You got to enter in believing it's going to be awesome. God didn't create Adam and Eve and say, suck eggs, now you're together. How many of you know he created Adam and Eve and said it's going to be awesome? It's going to be beautiful. It's going to be wonderful. Some of you are entering marriage and people are saying to you, it's going to be the worst year of your life. The first year is going to suck. It's going to be terrible. You're going to hate each other after like four weeks. You're going to hate each other, but it'll get better. You just say, shh. No. It's going to be awesome. I love my wife. We're going to get married and we're going to, woo! It's going to be awesome. You got to, don't enter in thinking it's going to be bad because it will be bad. Don't enter in thinking my first year is going to be terrible. It will be terrible. It's going to be awesome. You guys have been married for a while. Are you still in love? Praise God. It's working. A sense of fire over here. It's going to be awesome. Can I encourage you? When you get a spouse, you also get their family. No one told you, but you do. You get the family for free. You're like, but I don't want that family because they're weird. They're no weirder than your family. You know what I'm saying? That's what happens. God brings weird families together through marriage. Enter in and say, I'm going to love this family. I'm going to love my in-laws. Now, it may end up that they don't love you. Let that be on them, not on you. Just keep loving. Keep speaking life. Blessing. All right, if you're new to Enjoy Church, give me a wave if you're reasonably new. Been here for like 10 years. Praise God. All right, if you're new to a church, if you're new to Enjoy, can I encourage you just jump in. Full of expectation. If you want the best, give the best. Yeah. The way you enter in determines everything. So if you're new to the church, after service today, we got, I think, 55 registered for our new friends lunch. Praise God. 55 people, plus all, obviously, pastors and leaders. But I want to encourage you, maybe you're here today and you haven't registered. Maybe you just walked in. I met a couple right before service, first time in church. Just come to lunch. What's the worst thing that can happen? You get a free lunch. And we keep you forever. Not really. Not really. Some of you are like, did he mean that? No. We don't lock the door for too long. Come in. Join a team. Join a friendship group. Make friends. And I was like, but I've been to church before and da-da-da-da-da. We've all been. If the issue is you've been hurt at church, join the club. We've all been hurt. My family hurt me, but I didn't leave them. My boss hurt me, but I didn't leave it. My church, it's like, what I think is interesting, why do we think Christianity is all just easy, easy, easy? George and I were talking about one of the songs that's popular out there. And it's just like it has to be good all the time. As I read Hebrews chapter 11, for the guys in the second half of that chapter, it wasn't always good. And they didn't get what they were believing for. But nevertheless, they put their hope and their trust in God and they just kept on going. I want to encourage you, if you're new to the house, just jump in. And I promise you, we will let you go at the end of the day. Praise God. That's good. This is good preaching. Good preaching, Shane. Praise God. Thank you, Georgie. Thank you, Georgie. I love you, darling. All right, moving right along. Where are we up to? The way you enter the presence of the King will determine so much about your life and future in him. Luke chapter 7, reading from verse 36, it says, one of the Pharisees asked Jesus to come to his home for a meal. So Jesus accepted the invitation and sat down to eat. How many of you know it's like a new friend's lunch, but different right here? All right. A certain immoral woman heard he was there and brought a beautiful jar filled with expensive perfume. Then she knelt behind him at his feet, weeping. Her tears fell on his feet, and she wiped them off with her hair. Then she kept kissing his feet and putting perfume on them. When the Pharisees, when the Pharisee who was the host saw what was happening and who this woman was, he said to himself, "This proves that Jesus is no prophet. If God had really sent him, he would know what kind of woman is touching him. She's a sinner." My only question is, how did this guy know that unless he had maybe met her somewhere else? Then Jesus spoke up and answered his thoughts. I like this. How many of you know Jesus knows what you're thinking? Yeah. It's a little alarming, isn't it? It's like it doesn't even come out your mouth. And it's like, he's got you already. He's got you. That's what's happening here. Then Jesus spoke up and answered his thoughts. "Simon," he said to the Pharisee, "I have something to say to you." "All right, teacher," Simon replied, "go ahead." He thinks he's going to get a word of encouragement, but he's about to get spanked publicly. Then Jesus told him this story. A man loaned money to two people, 500 pieces of silver to one and 50 pieces to the other. But neither of them could repay him, so he kindly forgave them both, canceling their debts. "Who do you suppose loved him more after this?" Simon answered, "I suppose the one for whom he canceled the larger debt." "That's right," Jesus said. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, I think it's really interesting. He turns to the woman, but he's talking to Simon. It's really interesting. You can see what's going on in this room. He turns to the woman and said to Simon, "Look at this woman kneeling here. When I entered your home, you didn't offer me water to wash the dust from my feet, but she has washed them with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You didn't give me a kiss of greeting, but she has kissed my feet again and again from the time I first came in. You neglected the courtesy of olive oil to anoint my head, but she has anointed my feet with rare perfume. I tell you, her sins, and they are many," you're right in saying that, Simon, "have been forgiven, so she has shown me much love. But a person who is forgiven little shows only little love." Then Jesus said to the woman, "Your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven." The men at the table said among themselves, "Who does this man think he is going around forgiving sins?" And Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." So the immoral woman, we all know her to be Mary Magdalene. She's a local prostitute, but she gets her breakthrough as her sins are forgiven, while Simon, the religious leader who is hosting Jesus, only receives a rebuke. It's interesting, isn't it? On one hand, we've got this broken woman searching for love and trying to survive in all the wrong ways, but God comes along and he forgives her, and yet we have this religious person, this guy who thinks he's got it all together. He looks right, he's dressed right, he's sitting in all the right places, but he gets rebuked by the Lord. Even though it's in his house and the guy is trying to be hospitable, still he finds himself getting rebuked. Why did Mary get her breakthrough and Simon get rebuked? Simply because of the way each of them entered into and approached the king. This is what it's all about. It has to do with, it's all about the way each of them entered into and approached the king. Sometimes in this period of grace, I love grace. How many of you are glad for grace? How many of you love the song Amazing Grace? I love that song. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like most of these. Praise God. That saved a wretch like me. Me. If you don't have a revelation of what Jesus has saved you from, you probably don't have a revelation of his grace. How amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a guy, a wretch, a loser like me. But Lord, look what you've done. I love grace. But you know what? I think sometimes because we live in grace, in this dispensation of grace, I think sometimes maybe we're forgetting that when we approach the king, we're coming before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Some of us have come, just got so familiar in our approach, because it's like, it's all about love. It's not about works. It's all about forgiveness. It's not about what we do or how we do. Friends, can I encourage you? When you come before the King, you're coming before the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Prince of Peace, Almighty God, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. You're coming in before God. God. Everyone say God. We're coming before God. Remember when David built a cart to bring the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem? How many of you know that story? So in the Old Testament, the Ark of the Covenant, represents the presence of God. In the Old Testament, they would carry the Ark on their shoulders. It wasn't to be in a cart, wasn't to be on a donkey. It was to be carried by the priests. How many of you know you are now kings and priests? You are royalty because of the blood of Jesus. You are priests and you now carry the presence of God. But in the Old Testament, the priests would carry the presence of God. Well, long story short, the Ark of the Covenant, for whatever reason, ends up in the garage of a guy called Obed-Edom. And in that garage, as a result of the presence of God being on his property, he and all of his family are blessed. Blessed, 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 blessed. So David says, we're going to go down and we're going to get the Ark of the Covenant and we're going to bring the presence of God back to Jerusalem. So they go down there. David says, let's make a cart. David, you got it wrong right from the very start. It's not to go on a cart. You've got to carry the presence of God. But David says, we're going to go down there. We're going to pick up the Ark of the Covenant. We're going to bring it back. All right. So here we find ourselves now in 2 Samuel chapter 6, reading from verse 6. It says, but when they arrived at the threshing floor of Nacon, the oxen stumbled and Uzzah put out his hand to steady the ark of God. Now, most of us in this room are going to be thinking, what a good guy. What a good guy. Here we have the Ark of the Covenant on a cart. The oxen stumble. This guy puts out his hand so it doesn't fall off. We're all thinking, good for you. But how many of you know good for us isn't always good for God? Sometimes we do things and it's like, but this is. No, it's not this is. What do you say, Lord? It's not what I say as I approach you. It's what you say. Then the Lord's anger blazed out against Uzzah for doing this. And God struck him dead, like D-E-A dead, not D-E-D. Dead. D-E-D. Dead. D-E-A-D. Dead. Some of you are like, what are you on? You don't want to know. Struck him dead. It's like, for what? Because he put out his hand when he shouldn't have. He touched something he shouldn't have. We're all like, oh, this is a harsh God. Welcome to church. We treat things that are holy as if they're like run-of-the-mill. What does it matter? I'm just trying to help God. Well, don't bother helping God until you know what God is wanting from you. Now you know I'm back. I'm ready to preach now. It's like we just treat God with contempt and familiarity. And it's like, we'll do this and we'll do that. We're going to do it this way. We're going to do it that way. And God says, look. I would prefer obedience rather than sacrifice. He's looking for a holy people who know who he is. Know who he is. So he got struck dead beside the Ark of God. David was angry. He would have been like the pastor. He's like ticked off because here's some guy in his church trying to help God and God goes, bang, you're dead. David was angry because the Lord's anger had blazed out against Uzzah. He named that place Perez Uzzah, which means outbreak against Uzzah. It is still called that today. Well, I'm very sorry, David. I'm very sorry that you feel this way, but it would seem that the Lord doesn't care for your anger or your sentiment. God doesn't care. Why do we feel that we can just pull strings with God and this is how it's going to be, Lord? The Lord's like, no, it's not going to be like that. I'm God. I created you. I created you. You didn't create me. Problem is, when we create God in our own image, we'll touch things that we shouldn't touch. We'll judge God in ways that we shouldn't judge God, like Simon did. It shouldn't be this way. So Simon, Uzzah, David, any of us, when we treat the presence of God with contempt or familiarity or as ordinary, you can rest assured you're more in line for a rebuke than for your breakthrough. But I want breakthrough. How many of you want breakthrough? How many of you know we're enjoyers, we're Christians, we're disciples, we're Bible believers? We want breakthrough. If you're here today and you really want breakthrough in your life, give me a big wave. Give God a big wave. Like, Lord, we want breakthrough. Breakthrough in our spiritual life, breakthrough in our health, relationships, family, finances, whatever. Friends, if you've come to church today and you want breakthrough, can I suggest to you that so much of your breakthrough is directly related to the way that you approach the Lord and enter into his presence. So much. We see it. I've seen it for 25 years. Next month, we've been here 25 years. We've seen people come in and people go out. We've seen people come in and stay and be blessed. What's the difference between people? What is the difference? Largely, it's the way we approach the presence of God. Friends, if you want breakthrough, learn to approach God in a way that is pleasing and honoring of God. Remember when the disciples came to Jesus and said, Lord, teach us how to pray. Simple request. What did Jesus say? Luke chapter 11, verse 2. This is how you should pray. This is how you should pray. Father, may your name be honored. That's where we start. Not with, I'd like 50 bucks to go to men's conference. No. Don't start there. Start with honoring the King of Kings, honoring the Lord of Lords, honoring the Prince of Peace, honoring Almighty God. Father, may your name be honored. May your kingdom come soon. So what comes first, honor or the breakthrough? I'll ask again, this time in English. What comes first, honor or breakthrough? All right, honor comes before breakthrough. Friends, honor will always come first. Can I encourage you? Get this in your spirit. Honoring the Lord is always going to come first. But we dishonor the Lord when we come into his courts and into his gates with apathy. Apathy? Whatever. Apathy, she'll be right. Apathy. We dishonor the Lord when we come in with contempt. It's like, who does he think he is? Who does God think he is? That's what Simon was saying. Who does Jesus think he is coming around forgiving sins? As in contempt, familiarity, touching things that we shouldn't touch. It's like just treating God like he's ordinary. Our God is not ordinary. Our God is worthy of praise, worthy of honor, worthy of all the glory. And everybody said, as the worship team come, praise God. I love your Matilda top. If we get there, by the way, to the big dance, we should watch it in here. Unless it's Sunday morning, then I wouldn't do that because I don't want to die beside the ark. Praise God. Other than that, let's have a party and all wear Matilda tops. Huh. Genesis chapter 28, reading from verse 16. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, we can stop there and just preach a sermon out of that, eh? When Jacob awoke from his sleep. How many of you have been sleeping? So you're like, I don't know what you're asking. I know. I think we can all get sleepy at times. Instead of sharpening our plows and our shears, we're just a bit sleepy, lounging around. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place. And I was not aware of it. I grew up in church. I wasn't of the church until one day, bang, just like that, I became aware God is in this place. God is in this place. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. When you come to church on Sunday, are you just coming to church or are you coming to step through the gates of heaven? When you come to church on Sunday, are you just coming to church? Like a lot of people, church is just church. For me, church has never been church. I love the church. She's the bride of Christ. She's the body of Christ. She's the house of God. I said, for me, I love coming into this place because I'm aware Jesus is here. You are all here. A lot of people want to do church today without the people. It's not God's idea of church. God's idea of church is the body of Christ being knit together, coming together that we might encourage and build and strengthen one another. I love the church, but friends, I want to encourage you today. When you come to this place, is it just church or is this place the house of God? Is this place where you step beyond the gates? Is this coming into the courts of the Lord? Is this for you the very gate of heaven? You can tell a lot about what people believe, not just by what comes out of their mouth, but by the way they live their life. So if we're looking for and believing for a Holy Ghost breakthrough, a God intervention, we need to enter His courts with thanksgiving. We need to come in with thanksgiving. We need to enter His courts with praise. We need to give thanks and praise His name. For the Lord is good and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Excuse me. And we would all say amen to that. You know what I find interesting though? Uzzah's familiar approach to God got him killed. Killed. Simon's contemptuous approach to Jesus got him rebuked. But here we have Mary. Mary, despised by the community, despised by the religious leaders. And Mary, with a broken and a contrite heart, comes before the Lord. And in that place, she finds favor and grace and breakthrough and salvation. Isn't it interesting? Your approach is going to determine everything. The way you enter is going to determine your outcomes. So, my encouragement to you, my encouragement to us all, as we start stepping out from this place today, is to allow God to bring down the walls, to bring down, start breaking down the thoughts and the all that leads us to entering in wrong. I heard Pastor Gianni, Georgie's about to take us around communion. I heard Pastor Gianni talk about belonging to an area of ministry. And he was talking about bringing our tithe and offering. He was talking about being involved in an area of service. He was talking about friendship groups and all these things. And for me, they're probably the weightier, more meatier realities of discipleship. Discipleship begins every day. But I'm not with you every day, but I'm with you on Sundays. Discipleship begins with the way that we enter into the presence of God.